Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to another episode of The Basketball Truth, presented by the Red Light Sports Network, with your host, Kevin Cunningham. Before I do anything, got to give a shout-out to DraftKings. There is a click-and-go logo on the top right of the screen. If you visit our website, it's called theredlightsportsnetwork.com. So check out the site. Got all of our shows from The Basketball Truth, as well as all the other shows on the network, uploaded and archived up on the site, as well as all of our blogs and articles regarding, you know, whether it's March Madness stuff, NBA stuff, NFL, college football, baseball. Cover a lot of different stuff. There's even a women's football league right now that the CEO of Red Light Sports Network is helping cover over in Pittsburgh. So if women's football is your thing, check out the redlightsportsnetwork.com. If you're into playing fantasy games, whether it's, I know that NBA stuff, there's, you know, constant daily leagues over at DraftKings for as little as a quarter, so certainly not expensive. Also, I think I saw there was a UFC or MMA, I forgot exactly what it was, but some commercial or some ad on a website that I saw that DraftKings was doing some kind of UFC or MMA daily game, which I certainly haven't checked out because I do not follow that sport basically whatsoever. But throughout the NFL season, I did some stuff, won some money, so it was fun. But DraftKings, check out the site. Helps them, helps us, obviously. So good stuff over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com. You can also follow this show, The Basketball Truth, on Twitter, at RLSN Basketball. I'm mainly just tweeting out anything ridiculous that happens in the NBA, but for the most part, it's all March Madness stuff and conference tournament stuff, which is all that I'm getting to tonight. With most of the bigger conferences, Power Five, so to say, quarter and semifinals going on right now, there are, I think, 12 bids that have been sealed to this point, which I went over those teams last night. So, again, you can check out that podcast over at theredlightsportsnetwork.com or on Twitter at RLSNBasketball. But for now, I do feel like counting and seeing how many there are left. 5, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15... 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 left. So 12 tournaments in the books, there are 20 left. With, looks like most of them ending tomorrow, and then there are a few ending on Sunday. One of the tournaments ending on Sunday, which will be Selection Sunday, and the show is on CBS originally at, I want to say, 6 p.m. Eastern. And then SportsCenter over on ESPN will be kind of covering it too. But CBS is kind of the go-to place to check out where the brackets are first revealed. But first tournament that gets done on Sunday is the American League, which last year was represented by UConn, and the Huskies went on to win a national title from, I believe they were a 7th seed last year in the tournament. Obviously not many people expected them to make that kind of run, but kind of interesting. Tonight, they just beat Cincinnati. UConn came into the American tournament as the 6th seed in their own conference. Basically, they have to win their conference if they want to even make the NCAA tournament this year as opposed to last year. And Cincinnati was a 3, UConn was a 6. Ryan Boatwright kind of taking over that little Shabazz Napier role where he's been the lead guy this year. His teammates haven't necessarily followed as they did last year, which has led UConn, you know, into this hole where they have to win the American to get into the big dance. But he hit basically a buzzer beater 3 to advance UConn in the American tournament, and they play the 2-seeded Tulsa Golden Hurricane tomorrow. So UConn's still alive. SMU is the top team in this American conference. And as far as Joe Lunardi and his predictions go, I typically, you know, I take his stuff pretty seriously. If he doesn't pick, not pick, but has all 68 teams in the field correctly, then he's got maybe two that are wrong. Usually it's like one team that he has wrong. So, you know, the teams that he considers on the bubble, I consider on the bubble. He knows which teams are right on the fringe basically every single year. So I take his predictions to be legitimate. And I think the only locks he had from the American were SMU and Cincinnati. I feel like Tulsa was on the bubble. Maybe I'm mistaken, though. Let's see if I can find that. But, so yeah, the semifinals of the American tournament are tomorrow. SMU plays Temple. Temple's a solid little team. And then Tulsa plays UConn. UConn is kind of the underdog at this point, so to say. But let's see, pulling up the American stuff. And this is the wrong thing. Sorry, bear with me. Alrighty. This isn't going to show it either. I'm an idiot. Okay, I can't find the link right now. But in any case, I think there are three teams in the field, so maybe Tulsa is in the field right now. I'm not even sure. Or it might be Temple. I don't know. The American's weird. But in any case, that's one. Let's see here. Go to the America East as the next tournament. This one gets done. The America East tournament gets done tomorrow night, Saturday night. Albany plays Stony Brook. Albany, as far as, you know, them being the top team in this conference during the regular season. They're 23-8. Offensively, they're not too spectacular. They lost at Providence to start the year. They lost at UNLV by 16. And then they basically ran through their conference. They actually started the year 2-6. So, if Albany does come out of this America East, which they dominated during the regular season, tomorrow night and make the NCAA tournament, it's not a team that I'm really looking to pick to upset a juggernaut in the first round. Let's see here. We'll go with the ACC. Talk about the ACC for a while. The semifinals were tonight for the ACC Conference Tournament, and Virginia played North Carolina. Virginia was the 1 seed, North Carolina the 5. North Carolina pulled the upset, 71-67. Virginia, to this point, has been, you know, known to be a number 1 seed. And them losing in the semifinal of the ACC Tournament, I don't really think puts them in too much jeopardy. At the same time, if Wisconsin and Arizona and Villanova do win their conference tournaments, there's something to be said. I feel like the committee puts a bigger emphasis than most people realize on conference tournaments, because I feel as though there are teams that come into conference tournament weekend and they're a 4 seed, and then they'll win this conference tournament and they'll end up being a 2 seed. In the NCAA tournament. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, they just won 3 games. They beat, you know, a solid team, a bad team, and, you know, a really good team. So they should be rewarded. If they were a four before and they worked their way up to a three, that's fine. But sometimes you get these teams, there's always like one or two a year that win their conference tournament and they make like a two or three seed jump because of it. And it gets people like, whoa, where did this team, you know, come from just because they won their conference tournament? So I guess it wouldn't really surprise me if realistically Virginia or Duke, who also lost in the other ACC semifinal tonight, if they fell to twos, if Wisconsin, Arizona, and Villanova all win. You know, I think Kansas is seen as the worst two seed at this point. You also have Maryland in there, which they would have to beat Wisconsin if they won a two seed. But the twos fighting for ones at this point, realistically, are Villanova, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Duke and Virginia were seen as semi-locks for one seed. Kentucky obviously is. But with Duke and Virginia losing tonight, it could open the door for Wisconsin and Arizona to sneak in there. Right now, according to Lunardi, you know, Kentucky's definitely locked. Duke and Virginia were one seeds, but Villanova is also that fourth one, so to say. They should win the Big East. That's not much of a question. The question is, what if Arizona wins the Pac-12 and Wisconsin wins the Big Ten? Can they steal one or two of those one seeds that are currently being held? And like I said, I don't think it'll happen. I don't think Virginia or Duke will fall to twos, but it really wouldn't surprise me because sometimes there are teams that make a pretty big jump for winning their conference tournament. And Wisconsin certainly looks like a one seed. Arizona looks like a one seed as well. I feel like there are really five legitimate one seeds. With Kentucky, Duke, Virginia, and then Arizona, Wisconsin. Villanova deserves one, but realistically, I don't think they're a top five team. I think they're probably the sixth best team in the country, if not seventh behind Gonzaga. But in any case, it'll be interesting to see what the committee does with Virginia and Duke. It's not as though they, you know, came into the ACC tournament flat and just, you know, sucked. Virginia beat Florida State last night by 14. Duke beat NC State by 24 last night. So, you know, losing to North Carolina, if you're Virginia, is not a bad loss. Duke losing to Notre Dame, not a bad loss. Realistically. Let's see here if I can... just looking at some of the three seeds. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Maryland. Oklahoma lost tonight to Iowa State, so Oklahoma's obviously not going to make the jump to a two. Maryland could. They have to beat Wisconsin in the final, assuming Wisconsin gets past Purdue tomorrow. And then Notre Dame, they beat Duke. If they beat Carolina, maybe they could push themselves up to a two if Kansas loses. But right now, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Gonzaga are, at the very least, holding on to their two seeds. I think Kansas is the one vulnerable team. But, again, losing to Iowa State in the final, that's not going to be a bad loss either, I think. Where is Maryland? Maryland's... Oh, they're three. I don't know. Maybe Maryland could jump Kansas if they beat Wisconsin. That would make sense if Kansas lost. But... Virginia lost to North Carolina. Carolina's I was, before I went on that long tangent, what I think of Virginia, I think that they would be the best defensive team in college basketball that I've probably ever seen if it wasn't for Kentucky this year. If Justin Anderson's healthy, which he's not right now, but he at least played today, so I'm assuming that in, let's see here, 6 days, either six or seven, realistically, when Virginia plays their first round game, he'll be okay. I don't know if he'll be 100%. He should be okay. But so for Virginia, they obviously rely on their D. Like I said, if it wasn't for Kentucky and their bigs, basically, Virginia is the best defensive team I've seen in college basketball probably since I started watching, you know, which is, I don't know, 15 or so years ago. Actually, more than that, now that I think about it. But so this Virginia team slows it down. And so with so few possessions, a team like Carolina that matches up with Virginia athletically and has the bigs that can present some problems for Virginia, it doesn't really surprise me when Carolina beats anyone because they have the talent, they have the ability, and they have the front court, they have the back court. Marcus Paige is a point guard. He's one of the best in the country. And then you've got guys like Bryce Johnson, Kennedy Meeks, inside. They've got a guy, Hicks. They've got a guy in, I want to say it's Joel James is his name. So North Carolina's got plenty of size inside. The one time they went to Duke this year and they ended up losing in overtime, but they realistically had Duke beat. They punished them in the paint, and that's exactly what Notre Dame did as well, which I'll get to in a second tonight as well. But, yeah, I mean, when Virginia matches up against a team that is athletically on par with them and is able to go off offensively, then Virginia is vulnerable. North Carolina put up 71 points. Virginia does not give up 70 points. That just basically never happened. This year, Virginia's given up 70 or more points. It might have honestly been the first time. I'm looking it up right now. They played Davidson, who I absolutely love. Davidson scored 72 on him. Miami in double overtime scored 80. I'm not really going to count that, especially double overtime. Otherwise, wow. Yeah. There are two games before tonight that Virginia gave up 70 or more points. When they played Davidson, who's an offensive juggernaut, they beat Davidson 83-72 and double overtime at Miami. Miami scored 80 points. Virginia won that game. That's the two times Virginia gave up 70 plus. Actually, oh, yep. Never mind. So, actually, before this North Carolina game, they didn't even give up 60 in their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. Like I said, defensively, this is, you know, that's where Virginia holds their head. Malcolm Brogdon's insane defensively, really good offensive player as well, but defensively he's elite. Justin Anderson's elite when healthy. That's going to be the key for Virginia, is getting Justin Anderson healthy. In the first round, Virginia will be fine. The second round, be curious to see if Anderson's not 100% yet, and the offense kind of goes through the lulls, then maybe, depending on the team they draw in the second round, could give them some fits. But by that next weekend, what's the Sweet 16 rolls around, which I'm assuming Virginia will get to, then I would assume that Justin Anderson will be 100%. He's realistically the team's best player. Second, shoots 47% from the field, 48% from three. Really good defender. Malcolm Brogdon's extremely good as well. But this Virginia team should be fine. It just takes a really good effort from a really good Carolina team who's underranked at number 19 in the country right now to beat them. And Justin Anderson, Virginia's best player, was basically playing like garbage tonight because his hands messed up and he had an appendectomy. I think it was 6 days ago. That's pretty much the Virginia-North Carolina story. On the other semifinal for the ACC, Duke played Notre Dame. Notre Dame won 74-64. Basically, the first half, Notre Dame killed Duke in the paint. They had 30 first-half points in the paint. So, again, that seems to be Duke's problem. Is that when they play against teams that can pound inside, which Notre Dame realistically isn't. Notre Dame's much more of a shooting team than they are a paint-dominant team, which is why it was extremely weird. But Duke also shot like crap from three tonight. So Duke just played poorly offensively, couldn't stop Notre Dame defensively. I'm surprised Notre Dame only scored 74 points. Part of that is because Notre Dame struggled in the second half offensively for the second straight night. But against Miami last night, Notre Dame put on a show offensively, and so they could coast in the second half. Basically, the same thing happened tonight where they had a big enough lead in the first half. I think it was like 15, 16, 17 points on Duke. That in the second half, they could just kind of coast through, and they just had a big enough cushion to win. So that game tomorrow night, ACC final, Notre Dame, North Carolina. A game after playing Virginia, I would assume that Notre Dame has more in the tank than North Carolina. At the same time, both these teams, I guess North Carolina's won three games in 3 days so far, so it'll be their fourth game in a row, which will be difficult. Notre Dame's only had to play two to this point. So physically, I would expect Notre Dame to be ready to roll. North Carolina, probably not so much. So I would give the advantage Notre Dame. But I think both of these teams are probably legitimate three seeds, realistically, as far as what their actual talent is and what they will play like. You know, North Carolina at this point in Joe Lunardi's bracket is a four seed. But if they beat Notre Dame tomorrow, you can almost guarantee they'll at least be a three. Notre Dame right now is a three. So you may have two threes. You may have two ones coming out of the ACC and into the NCAA tournament. And as far as Louisville is concerned, they were a four today. That might stick. So ACC, pretty strong. Next up, let's see here. The Atlantic 10. Again, before I said I love Davidson, they played LaSalle in the first round. Davidson's the one seed in the A-10. LaSalle's the nine. LaSalle was up 66-65 with like 2 seconds left. Davidson basically had a little runner in the paint to complete the comeback. LaSalle was up 18 on Davidson in the first half of this game. Davidson came back because offensively they're ridiculous. I love them. I wish Davidson wasn't ranked coming into this week. I think it's the first time they've been ranked. all year. But this Davidson team, I think, has won 11 straight, and they're clicking. They almost lost to LaSalle tonight, but offensively, they're certainly a team to be reckoned with. They're a smaller team. They're like Villanova, not even as big as Villanova. I think Villanova's a little undersized. This Davidson team is definitely undersized, but offensively, they're extremely dangerous because they've got basically at least four guys on the floor that can knock down threes at all times. And the back cuts, the screens that they set for each other, it really is fun to watch Davidson play often. So that's kind of my loving dark horse coming into the tournament. Right now, I think Lenardi had them as a 9, I want to say. Yeah, there were 9 seed coming into today. Kind of sucks because, you know, I would want to see them play, you know, to be either a 7 or a 10. They're certainly not going to be a 10 anymore after they won today. I guess it could happen still. Realistically, they're in the semifinals of the A-10. If they lost, maybe they could fall down a spot and get to a 10. But I just don't want to see them match up with a 1 seed in the second round. I would want to see them battle a 2, which they would have to be a 7 or 10 seed to have that happen. But A-10, Davidson plays VCU in the semifinal tomorrow afternoon, and then Dayton plays Rhode Island in the other semifinal. So we'll see what happens there. But I love Davidson. Before Breonte Weber got hurt, I love VCU, so I would have absolutely been beside myself tomorrow afternoon when Davidson plays VCU had Breonte Weber not been hurt. But unfortunately, he is. Dayton, Rhode Island, I don't care as much about at all. Dayton's an interesting team, but Davidson's the team to watch coming out of the A-10. Got about 17 minutes left here, and I've only gone through 4 tournaments so far. So got to kind of start running through things. But the bulk of my time, I guess, I'll spend more so on the bigger tournaments. Although, actually, you know what? Nah, I'll run through the smaller ones right now, starting with the Big East. Not that the Big East is a small conference, but I think you catch my drift. Villanova beat Providence today, 63-61, to move on to the final. Xavier beat Georgetown. Xavier's the 6th seed in this tournament. Georgetown's the 2. Xavier beat him 65-63. That's really kind of weird. Villanova beat Providence 63-61. Just random, weird fact. Now that I'm looking at the scores more closely. But so Villanova plays Xavier tomorrow night in the Big East final. I would expect Villanova to beat Xavier. Xavier's a decent little team, but Villanova's considered a 1 seed for a reason. That's the Big East. Moving to the Big Sky, that tournament over with tomorrow. Montana beat Northern Arizona today by 2. Eastern Washington beat Sacramento State today by 8. So Montana plays Eastern Washington tomorrow night in the final. Eastern Washington's a team that's scored 91. They actually, in the first round of this tournament, they beat Idaho 91-83. And then earlier today, they beat Sacramento State 91-83 again. It's a team that scores. Basically, that's what you have to know about Eastern Washington. Montana's the number 1 seed coming into this thing. So either team, you know, Montana's not terrible. Eastern Washington's fun to watch. So the Big Sky representative will be interesting to watch, at the least, in the NCAA tournament. Skip the Big 10, skip the Big 12 for now. Go to the Big West. I think that's actually going on right now. Yep. Hawaii beat upset UC Davis. UC Davis was the number one seed. So much for that. Their season's done. Hawaii beat them 65-58. Moving on to the final tomorrow, where they'll play the winner of UC Irvine and UC Santa Barbara. That's going on right now on ESPNU for those that are listening to me live. And UC Irvine has Mamadou Ndiaye, who is 7'6". Again, he's 7'6". He's the tallest player in D1. And UC Irvine is the beneficiary of him. He was a top 100 recruit. I don't think it's just because of the size. Obviously, being 7'6" helps. But I think he's got some game to him. I don't think he's just a 7'6" guy that's playing D1 basketball just because he's 7'6". That could be interesting to see in the tournament if they make it. Moving on. Conference USA. That wraps up tomorrow. Middle Tennessee State was the sixth seed. They beat Charlotte in the first round, upset Old Dominion in the second round, and earlier today they upset the two-seeded UTEP Miners, 53-50. So Middle Tennessee is the sixth seed. They're in the final. UAB upset the number one seed, Louisiana Tech, today by 10. So the four seed and the six seed will be the one representative coming out of the Conference USA. That should be interesting. Yeah, not much more to say about that one. Going to be a one-bid league. Horizon League, Valpo already won that. Ivy League, I believe it's Harvard and Yale in that final. I think that's tomorrow night. The Mid-Atlantic, or sorry, Mid-American. The MAC, better known as. One seed, Central Michigan beat Toledo today by 9. Two seed, Buffalo beat Akron by 9. So the 1 and 2 seeds move on. Central Michigan against Buffalo tomorrow night, which is Saturday night, for the MAC final. And the Mid-Eastern tournament, the MEAC, also wraps up Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, actually. Delaware State upset North Carolina Central. I think North Carolina Central was undefeated in this conference. And so that was actually a legitimate upset. Yep, they were. Delaware State's 18-16 overall. They'll be in the final going up against Hampton, who was the sixth seed. They upset Norfolk State. So 16-14 Delaware State plays, 15-17 Hampton. The MEAC representative will have their hands full, to say the least, come NCAA tournament time. But moving on, the Mountain West also wraps up Saturday. And Wyoming beat Boise State. That was an upset. And right now, San Diego State is up 5 on Colorado State in the other semifinal. So the winner of that will play Wyoming. Boise State will get an at-large bid. They'll be in the tournament. They're a solid team. They've got Derek Marks as their star player. So he'll be a fun one to watch come tournament time. Got about 10 minutes left. Definitely want to make sure I have enough time for the bigger conferences. And so I am going to get to that now. Going to skip some of these other ones, like Southland, Southwestern Atlantic, Sunbelt, Western Athletic, and go back up to the Big 12, I think is the last power conference I left off with. Let's see what I have to get through here. Big 12. Big Ten. Pac-12 and SEC. All right. Four conferences, 10 minutes to do it. Big 12. Today, Kansas beat down Baylor by 10. basically Kansas's defense ran the show in that one. Iowa State beat Oklahoma 67-65. Honestly, I think Iowa State might be the best team in this conference. I think they'll beat Kansas tomorrow. Maybe Kansas will prove me wrong, but I legitimately think that Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Kansas are all three seeds, realistically. Not necessarily that that's what they'll get, but I think that as far as how good they really are, Iowa State, Oklahoma, Kansas, probably all three seeds, realistically. Kelly Oubre Jr. is definitely the X factor. Since Perley Ellis has gone out, especially Oubre has been their guy. And so, you know, if he does his thing, then maybe Kansas can live up to that two-seed hype that they're kind of getting right now. Especially if they beat Iowa State, they'll be a two-seed. But I just like Iowa State in that one. I think they're a more disciplined, more experienced team, personally. Big Ten, Wisconsin beat Michigan today in the quarterfinal by 11. Purdue beat Penn State by 5. So Wisconsin will play Purdue tomorrow afternoon. Maryland beat Indiana by 6. I sure as heck hope that Indiana makes the tournament. I think they will, barely. I think they'll be in those first four games. But I think Indiana's a talented team that keeps losing close games. And so, you know, if that happens right away in the NCAA tournament, so be it. But I think they are talented enough to warrant a spot. Last quarterfinal, Michigan State beat Ohio State by 9. Realistically, I think Wisconsin's the cream of the crop in the Big Ten, obviously. But I do like Michigan State over Maryland tomorrow. I think Michigan State is the second-best team. Maryland's been on a roll. Des Wells, Melo Trimble, you know, guard play is certainly not the issue for Maryland. They also have size. So there's a reason why they're the number two seed coming into this Big Ten tournament. But I just personally am more a fan of Michigan State's team. They've kind of won me over as the year went on. To start the year and even 10 or so games in, I didn't think this Michigan State team was going to do much. Yet, I think they're going to meet Wisconsin in the final. Lose, but I do think they are actually better than Maryland. Moving to the Pac-12. Semifinals tonight. Arizona beat UCLA by 6. Arizona, if they win this thing, could jump up to a 1 seed, but at the worst, they're probably going to be the 2 seed out west. It's not the worst thing in the world if you're Arizona. You just want to be out west so your fan base is there. Oregon, Utah going on right now. Got that on the TV while I'm doing this. Going back and forth, Oregon's the 2 seed, Utah's the 3, even though Oregon's, you know, seed-wise, much lower than Utah. But Oregon's up right now 39-37. There's, I think, like 12 or so minutes left to play. But both these teams, really good offensive teams, like to get out and run, shoot threes. But Utah is much better defensively. So, surprised that Oregon's kind of doing their thing right now. But Utah is certainly the team to watch outside of Arizona. Moving on to the SEC, I guess I got 5 minutes to play around with the SEC. So, Kentucky beat Florida today by 15. Not much of a surprise. You know, coming into the year, Florida was a top 10 team. First time I saw that, I kind of chuckled at myself because I knew that wasn't going to be the case. They just lost so much from last year, a team that was probably the most talented in the country. the best overall team. Ended up losing to a hot UConn team in the Final Four, but that Florida team was really good last year. But they just lost so much from last year that this year I knew they weren't a top 10 team. I figured they would be top 25, you know, back end of it. I definitely thought they'd make the tournament. Turns out they were not even that good. So they fooled everyone. And, yeah, next year I guess they'll certainly be better. Casey Hill, their point guard, is a guy I like a lot. Other quarterfinal there to play Kentucky tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon. Auburn upset LSU. Kind of interesting. Auburn is the 13 seed in this tournament. They won 4 SEC games during the regular season. So for them to make the SEC semifinal is something. They upset Mississippi State in the first game by 6. They upset Texas A&M in the second game by 7. And they upset LSU today in overtime by 3. So Auburn's, you know, kind of living on a high right now. But they play Kentucky tomorrow. Should be kind of interesting just to see how Auburn comes out. You know, I think the last time these two teams played, Kentucky beat them by 30, I want to say. That's not an exaggeration. Checking it now. But, yep, they beat them by 35 points. They hung 110 on them. So tomorrow should be interesting, to say the least. Did these teams play twice? Not that I can find. So, yeah, the one time Kentucky played Auburn this year, they won by 35 points. So, Auburn may be on a high, but they'll probably soon, unfortunately, be on a low. But quite the run they've obviously had in the SEC tournament. Obviously nothing Bruce Pearl can wave off and not think much about. Got to give credit where credit's due to a 13 seed in the SEC. Other side of the bracket, Georgia took care of South Carolina by 12. They moved on. And Arkansas took care of Tennessee. They moved on. So Arkansas-Georgia is in the other semifinal. The winner of that tomorrow afternoon plays the winner of tomorrow afternoon's winner of Kentucky-Auburn for the final on Sunday. So I expect Kentucky to roll through Auburn again. And then I expect Arkansas to beat Georgia. I really like this Arkansas team. They're a team that just gets up and down. They've got plenty of athletes, but they also have shooters on their team. So it's not just a bunch of athletic guys. They share the ball. They're 5th in the country in assists per game. So, you know, they play solid basketball. They're basically like VCU, except a more highly recruited VCU. To this point, they just get better recruits than VCU has right now. Bobby Portis is a legitimate player. He will easily be a first-round pick in next year's NBA draft, averaging 17-8. He's got some range to him, to his game. He's extremely long. So, another Kentucky Arkansas matchup would be fun to watch on Sunday, hopefully if all plays out. That's kind of my hope. The one matchup those two teams had this year, Kentucky beat them by 17. So, that's Kentucky for you. But hopefully we can see a rematch there. Arkansas kind of looking for the revenge factor on that one, if everything plays through seeding-wise tomorrow. But the show went fast. Couldn't even get through all the conferences, but it's been fun as always. Follow us again on Twitter at RLSN Basketball. We'll have a show up tomorrow as well regarding some of the stuff that goes on Saturday. So it's been fun. March Madness time, best time of the year. Adios.